for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come unto thee. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments, and they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his holy angels. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. It is a thing worthy of note in regard to the seven letters here in Revelation chapter 2 and 3, that with the exception of Smyrna and Philadelphia, the danger from within each church was, and one might add, still is, more destructive than the danger from without. The danger from within is more destructive than the danger from without. And how true that is of the church at Sardis, as we have read these few verses together. Let us think just for a few moments of some of the background of Sardis. The name Sardis means remnant, or those escaping, a remnant, and surely there was a remnant in Sardis. Sardis was founded by Meles 1200 years BC. It was the capital of the Lydian kingdom, and was perched on the top of a cliff 1500 feet high on Mount Tmolus above the Hermus valley, and apparently secure. Croesus, her greatest king, was visited on one occasion by a Greek lawgiver named Solon. This visitor warned him of smug self-satisfaction. Croesus was immensely rich, proverbially so. He went to consult Apollo, the oracle at Delphi, who said to him, "Cross the river Halys, and you will destroy a great empire." Well, he did so, and destroyed his own empire. He retired to his apparently secure capital city, Sardis, where Cyrus the Persian shut him up. History tells us that one of Cyrus's soldiers, Pyroides, sitting there in the valley with his other friends, on one occasion while they were down there in the valley, shutting up all the people, soldiers, king, up there in their invulnerable city on the top of the mountain. Everything seemed to be so hopeless. And yet, while Hyroides sat there, on one occasion he saw a Lydian soldier climb down the bare face of the cliff and retrieve his helmet that had fallen over. And then he watched him climb up again. And Hyroides said to himself, "Well, what that Lydian soldier can do, so can I." And in the night, with many other soldiers too, they scaled the cliff, and so they took Sardis, on the very side which was invulnerable, or at least Croesus thought it was. Quietly through the years, the cliff had eroded, and with it their safety had been washed away. They only had a name, but the name wasn't worth anything. They had a name for security, but their security had eroded through the years, and they had become unaware of it. What a picture of the church in Sardis. What a picture of many churches today. Companies of people who have allowed their blessings, the power, the usefulness, to erode away. What the Lydian soldier did, Hyroides and other Persian soldiers did. and Sardis was taken in the year 549 BC. And then, 3 years later, it happened all over again, when Antiochus did the same thing. It is so obvious from this distance that Sardis had not learned its lessons. Professor Blakelock tells us that men grew slack and trusted in the past, in appearance, but all in vain, and the church in Sardis must have known the history of the city, only perhaps to disregard that too. They had a name, a very good name. It was a name for invulnerability, for security, and yet when the test came, there was no security left. Sardis reminds us of that period of church history known as the Reformation. And through the years, so much of the blessings of the Reformation have eroded away. But thank God for the believing remnant. So many ceremonies, so many forms, so many phrases, so much religious jargon, so many uniforms, so many things that have been handed down to us. Times, places, man-made traditions. But thank God there is a believing remnant. For tradition, if it's founded on the Word of God, is good, as Paul reminds us. But we need to make sure that it is founded on the Word of God. For man-made traditions, just for the sake of making traditions or making changes, have no spiritual value at all. Let us look for a moment at the verses we have read together. The first thing we notice is, in verse 1, that there is a minister, that is, a servant or messenger, unto the angel or the minister or servant or messenger, whichever word you prefer. He was to receive a letter unto the angel of the church in Sardis, write. And the one who is dictating letter identifies himself in this remarkable way: he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars. These things he says to these people in Sardis. The servant receives the letter. The seven spirits are in his hands. The stars are in his right hand. The seven spirits speak surely of his full capacity to see and comprehend all that goes on. And the stars in his hand mean that he has the completeness of capacity to control and order affairs. There was nothing he could not do. Secondly, we have a look at the message. And in the latter part of verse 1, it gives lie to the fact of their vulnerability. For the writer goes on to say, I know thy works. Thou hast a name that thou livest and art dead. So the first thing we see in the message that is written to the believers in Sardis is deception. You see, they have a work, they have a name, they have a name for living, but they're dead. Yes, the Lord Jesus knew their works, and knew no doubt that they did a great deal of work. No doubt were engaged in a great deal of activity. And they had a great name, a name for security, a name for invulnerability. A name that meant alive, living, virile, and yet they weren't virile, they weren't living. The Lord Jesus says up to them that they were dead. Then another thing the Lord Jesus says to them in verse 2, be watchful and strengthen the things which remain, that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. And so not only was there deception in that they had a name for being alive, when in actual fact they were dead, but there was the decay. You see, they were told to be watchful and strengthen. Watch what? Strengthen what? Well, the Spirit of God records the fact that there were things which remained, but the things that remained were ready to die. What was necessary in Sardis was that they should strengthen the things that remained, be watchful of them, not lose them. Because if they did not watch and if they did not strengthen the things that remained, then they would die. how suggestive it is that there are only two places of the seven churches that remain today with any semblance of testimony at all. And the one is Smyrna, which is now Izmir, and the other is Philadelphia. And one realizes that faithfulness brings its own reward, a reward that will be honoring to God and satisfying to the believer himself. And the third thing I want you to notice in verses 1 to 3 is the duty that is mentioned here. You see, memory is evoked. We are reminded that they received something, they heard something. Therefore, they should hold it fast and repent. It was urgent, a very urgent message. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die, for I have not found thy works perfect or mature or complete before God. Verse 3 tells us, remember therefore how thou hast received and heard, hold fast and repent. We are reminded that there are many companies of the Lord's people today that need to remember what they have received and what we have heard, and to hold fast and not lose it, to strengthen it, to strengthen the hands of the Lord's people in the work and the witness of the gospel, that there may be a true and faithful testimony, that we in our own hearts and lives might faithfully portray the character and person of Christ, that he might have free entrance into our hearts and lives, that he might find us available to him, completely at his disposal, that we may not just be resting on the past, many blessings though we may have received, but ongoing and outgoing and onward going, seeking to honor and to glorify his name, resting in the assurance that the future of each one of us is fraught with many blessings from God, because we may be sure of the fact that the future is as bright as his promises declare it to be. And how many wonderful promises he has given to us. How sad to be like the Sardis church, who could only think back on what had been. They had had a testimony. They had been secure, invulnerable, but their testimony was on the wane. They were getting used to it. It had lost its first thrill, lost its first love, so to speak. And here they were called to remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard, and not receive and hear in vain, but to hold it fast. And another thing we notice in verse 3 is the danger. Because they were told, if thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee. So there was danger. You notice the little word if. If, therefore, thou shalt not watch. It becomes us all to be on our guard all the time, suddenly, secretly, silently, if thou shalt not watch. One cannot get away from the fact that each one of us are responsible to hold fast the things that we have received and heard. They are precious gifts from God. They are gifts that God has given to us. We should seek at all times to be true and faithful in our witness, in the way we live, the things we think, we say, we do, that all may redound to the praise and the glory of God. And what a wonderful thing to know and to assure ourselves of, that God, the gracious Spirit himself, will inspire and guide and lead us each one into paths of usefulness, that the fruit of his gracious power may be seen in us and through us, that men and women may take note of us, that we have been with Jesus. These three verses are very solemn, and the message is very challenging. How easy it is to deceive ourselves, have works, have a name, and discover that there's nothing alive. To recognize that decay is setting in, and we must be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. How much has been eroded from truth in these present days in which we live? How easy it is to make excuses, to follow the fashions of a Christ-rejecting world. as the spirit of the world seeks to come into the church, how easy it is for us to get familiar with it, to get used to it all, to accept it, and throw up our hands, as it were, and say, well, we can't do anything about it, when in actual fact it's an invasion of that Christ-rejecting world into the church. And the things that we received and heard and understood, precious truths from the Word of God, are liable to be eroded away and we lose them. The word spoken to Sardis comes to us over the years, and the Spirit of God may well say to us today, remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. Hold fast. You can't hold fast something you haven't got. We have received the Word of God. We may read the Word of God. And the Spirit of God will teach us its truths if we will listen to them. And when we have learned the lessons of the Word of God, then we have a responsibility to hold them and not lose them and not let the fashions of the world and the ideas that are rife in the world today, modern ideas which are contrary to the Word of God, erode the truth of the Word of God and cheat us and rob us from these precious things. We need to remember what we have received, what we have heard, and to hold fast. Memory surely should be evoked in all our hearts, for the matter is urgent. For as the Word of God here says, be watchful, strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die. God forbid that they should be ready to die amongst us. We need to remember what God has given to us, the tremendous privileges and indeed the responsibilities, so that we might be proved faithful in this declining, decaying age in which we live, where men everywhere are seeking to please themselves and do their own thing. And if the Word of God doesn't comply with their ideas of what is right and wrong, then out goes the Word of God. How destitute of spiritual power, how destitute of any comprehension at all of the mind and will of God. How true this is today, that you and I need to remember how we have received and heard, and we need to remind ourselves that if ever there was a day in which we need to hold fast these precious things, we should do it now, for they are ready to die. And if left to the tender mercies of that Christ-rejecting world outside, then surely they will die. Verse 4 introduces us to the means to do right. Because in verse 4 we read, thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. And they shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. Notice the purity in their standing. They were washed. Notice the power in their service, because they were walking with him. Notice the privilege and satisfaction, because they were worthy. How this should encourage us. Yes, we may be in the minority. The clamor from outside may insist on change for no other reason than they want change. Well, how wonderful to identify ourselves with the truth of the Word of God. Thou hast a few names, even in Sardis. It seems very much as though they were in the minority, only a few names in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. They shall walk with me in white, for they are worthy. What a wonderful thing to gain the approbation of the Lord. Purity in our standing, because we are washed clean. Power in service, the power he gives to enable us to serve him. In our walk with him, personally, privately, in the assembly life, and amongst our neighbors, that they may note who we walk with. And then the privilege and satisfaction, because he has enabled us and made us worthy to be accepted by him. Everything reflects upon the grace and the mercy of God to us in verse 4. And then in verse 5 we are introduced to the manner of achievement. How shall it be achieved? First of all, we see that verse 5 speaks to us of the overcomer again. He that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. So they that walk with the Lord in white will know something about the overcoming life. For he that overcometh, the same shall be clothed in white raiment. I will not blot out his name out of the book of life, but I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. Clothed in his perfections, white raiment, confirmed in a place of security, for the name stays in the book of life, and confessed in the presence of God, presented without a fault. And if we turn to Jude, verse 24, we shall see the same thought expressed. And verse 6 concludes the letter. And in verse 6, we see these words once again. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. The word the Spirit speaks involves the hearing of the ear and the consequent action in the life. Let him hear. Hearing, of course, is not listening. You can listen to a lot of noises and hear nothing. But when you hear something, you have received information. You have received the lesson. Go back to verse 2. Be watchful and strengthen the things which remain. Verse 3. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. Yes, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. Not just one church, every church. For each church received a message that you and I need to learn. And in Sardis, it was the message of being watchful and strengthening the things that remain to us so that they should not be eroded away from us, that we should not lose them, but that we should keep those things that are precious, that have been handed down to us, that we learn from the Word of God, that we might honor God by being faithful to His Word, His way, His will, and to walk in the pathway of His choice. Remember, therefore, how thou hast received and heard. Hold fast. We need to give thanks to God for the truth of His precious word that we have received, that by His grace we are enabled to hold fast, that we might honor and glorify His name in our present day and generation. Never let us let up or give way to those worldly fashions outside, which so often desire to come in and influence and take over, Jezebel-like, the things that are precious to us. Let us remember that there can be no mixture of the world and the church. The church is God's peculiar possession, and the Lord Jesus Christ desires to work in and through His people to the praise of His glory. And in this dying world, a world which has rejected Christ, which would do so again if He came and had the power to do so, let us remind ourselves that we need to remember the things we have received, the things we have heard, those precious things from His word that we have learned, and let us hold fast to those things and know that although we may be in the minority, as we see in verse 4, thou hast a few names even in Sardis, which have not defiled their garments. We only may be few, but let us be faithful. And in that fidelity, let us honor the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. Now let us pray. We thank thee, Heavenly Father, for the opportunity of reading thy word together. We are faced with this challenge of a decaying, deceptive world outside that seeks to come in and take away the blessings that thou hast given to thy people. Give to us the moral and the spiritual courage to stand firm, to remember and to hold fast the precious truths that thou hast given to us, and not yield them, but seek to honor and glorify the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We ask these things in His name and for His sake. Amen.